is dude in all the land. You got Texas blood as thick as mud. He's Ben McMahon.
Ben McMahon, the man with the intro, joining us here on the Sports Brunch here on 103.3 FM, ESPN, DJ Ringenberg, Clarence Hill. Very happy to have you on today, Mr. McMahon. And first thing I want to get to here is, what were you doing at 1 a.m. last night, pal?
Man, of all the Friday nights to go to bed at a reasonable hour, last night was one of them. I woke up this morning to a lot of changes in me. We're looking at it from a Mavericks perspective here on the flagship station of your Dallas Mavericks.
There you go.
And not a good night for the Mavs. Well, let's call it like we see it. I mean, Danny Green did a masterful job of using the Mavericks as leverage to land the kind of contract that he wanted from a contender. And it looks like it was going to be either with Toronto if Kawhi went there, or with the Lakers if he didn't. He got the deal he wanted. The Mavericks are kind of stuck holding a big bag of cap space with right now, you know, nobody to give it to. I mean, do you reach and kind of throw money at a guy who's not necessarily a great fit for this roster, Marcus Morris? I know the Mavericks have been exploring the trade market. I think there's still a possibility there. You know, I've reached out to Mavericks folks, have not heard back today to see if they're going to delay the official signing of the guys that they're re-signing. The reason that's important is because once, you know, Porzingis, Maxi Kleber, I'm trying to think who's Dorian Finney-Smith, once those guys sign their deals, that cap space goes poof. You know, they can do Seth Curry, and he was going to be part of the cap space anyways. They can do the Dwight Powell extension, and that's fine because that doesn't kick in until next year. But with those other guys, if they officially sign now that they're eligible to do so, the cap space goes goodbye. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Mavericks delay that and at least try to figure out how they might be able to use this cap space in the trade market. And, you know, this is not the way that the Mavericks hope things will go down, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. All the hopes that everybody had, all the plans and dreams, whether it was Kemba Walker, they're going to split that cap space between a couple of guys to end up with Boban and Seth, that all you got to show for free agency. It's a huge setback.
No, it is. And especially when you've got so many other teams in the West that are getting better. You know, obviously the Clippers are bona fide contenders. I believe Vegas has them as the favorites to win the whole thing. Now, the Lakers took a quantum leap this summer, and even though they missed out on Kawhi, you know, that's a two All-NBA caliber superstar team. Plus, you know, they're able to fill in with role players, one of them being the guys the Mavericks really wanted. I mean, like the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, obviously they were down in the, you know, in the standings with the Mavericks last season. They got much better this offseason. I was looking at it today, and, you know, I see some teams that I think are pretty close to playoff locks, and then the Mavericks being in a group of maybe five that are fighting for that last spot. And, you know, that group of five includes a team like the San Antonio Spurs, who have been there 22 straight years. The Thunder took a bigger hit yesterday than the Mavericks, at least temporarily. But the Thunder were at least able to collect a ton of future assets and kind of get a head start on a rebuild.
Let's get into the Thunder with Paul George leaving. And now it looks like there's going to be discussions between the front office and Russell Westbrook and what his future is going to be. Do you think that he ends up getting moved as well, and do you think that Oklahoma City commits to kind of a similar time frame of the Mavericks, where you're thinking, let this glut of great teams in the West blow over, and maybe 3 or 4 years from now, we might get things back going again?
I mean, look, OKC is going to go into a full rebuild. I think that's pretty clear. This is one of those situations, and Will just reported that they're huddling with Russell Westbrook and his agent, kind of discussing the future. Basically, look, all parties involved are going to want to trade, right? It makes sense for Russ. It makes sense for the Thunder. It's a no hard feelings kind of thing. You gave it your best shot, but this is what happens when you get bounced in the first round in back-to-back years when you go out and get Paul George and he decides to move on to greener pastures and in a place where he can actually contend. The problem is, who's going to trade for Russell Westbrook? What kind of return can you get for a 31-year-old who does have history of knee injuries, you know, who does play a certain style that, let's be honest, hasn't produced he hadn't delivered championships there when he had KD. And like I said, when he had Paul George, hadn't got him out of the first round and is due $170 million. I reached out to an executive I know from the team that I thought, maybe that'll be a fit. The reply quickly was, quote, too much money. And so it might be a situation where you're not getting basketball value for Russ. He might end up being traded in a salary dump, where the best case scenario is they can get some expiring contracts. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. You know, maybe though, a team like Miami that just went all in on Jimmy Butler, maybe they make a play for Russ, but if they're not giving up picks, because guess what? The Thunder already owns all the Heat, two of the Heat picks, because they got those from the Clippers.
I would love to see Russ and Jimmy Butler fighting over the basketball.
You would be interesting. I'd love to see Russ.
Well, beyond that, I mean, this is really about Kawhi and the decision he made and really changing the face of the NBA. It's wide open like never before. Just talk about, the excitement from a league standpoint of what has now transpired.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the Clippers have never – well, that those Lob City Clippers had a chance, but they've met – this is clearly the most optimistic anybody's ever been about the Clippers. And talk about the drama, I mean, arguably the two favorites share an arena, in L.A. And the Raptors clearly going to take a step back, but I think you look at the East and you say, you know what, 76ers still have a shot. The Bucks still have a shot. I think it's a little optimistic to put the Celtics in that conversation. And then, look, I mean, the Rockets, I think they are better off having missed out on Jimmy Butler. And a lot of scouts and executives I talked to out at the Utah Summer League this week certainly agreed with that. I mean, if they can stay healthy, if Chris Paul can stay healthy kind of smooth out anything that's going on with James Harden, they've got a chance. Utah got a ton better. They might be the best team ever that has nobody on the roster that's been to an All-Star game. But they've got a legit shot. And like you said, it's wide open, but if you're putting your money down, I think you could you can go ahead and make a bet, certainly, that the championship parade will be in downtown Los Angeles next summer. You just don't know, will it be purple and gold or red and blue?
Talking to Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA insider here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Woj just tweeting out 1 minute ago, DeMarcus Cousins agreeing to a one-year deal with the Lakers, according to his agent. You've also got Ivica Zubac, 4 years, $28 million to stay with the Clippers. So maybe a name people not quite as familiar with, but I think that he's actually pretty underrated at this point. So if you look at what the Lakers have done, Cousins, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, that's not Kawhi Leonard. Is that enough for them to be considered the second-best team in the West, third-best? Where do you put them at?
I mean, they're clearly a top-tier team, and I don't think they're done filling out that roster. And a significant advantage that both the Lakers and the Clippers are going to have is there's going to be solid vets, Jared Dudley being an example with the Lakers, that are basically begging to come to L.A. to play for a contender. I mean, trust me, I've got NBA vets who are hoping they get bought out so they can go to L.A. It's pretty clear that Iguodala would prefer a buyout from Memphis, so he could probably go play for the Lakers, play for his old agent, who's now the GM there, Rob Pelinka, and play on a championship contender. Now, the Grizzlies wisely are saying, no. We got an asset for taking you. We think we can get an asset for dealing you. And, the Rockets are interested. The Mavericks have some interest, although the way the landscape looks in the West, I'm not sure that'll be a priority. But, look, when the buyout season hits, or even, this summer as kind of the early buyout season comes, the Lakers and the Clippers will be front of the line, for, you know, top choices for a whole bunch of guys.
Is the league changed from a three-star league to now a team's made up of two stars and a bunch of players, and then because the Mavericks have two stars or two potential stars, that gives them hope? Is that something Mavs fans can be excited about?
Well, yeah, look, as disappointing as this free agency period has been to this point and probably will end up being for the Mavericks, yes, there's absolutely hope. You know, and again, they're so much better off now than they were 13 months ago that it's not even funny. And if Luka Doncic develops into the kind of perennial All-MVP or All-NBA MVP candidate that, you know, certainly his rookie season gave you, glimpses of the possibility of being, and then Kristaps Porzingis stays healthy and he's a perennial all-star type of player, then yeah, the Mavericks will absolutely have hope. Now, those guys, obviously, they're going to have to grow together. They're going to have to develop. They're going to have to get some experience. But look, you could be a lot better off than, or a lot worse off, rather, than having two potential superstar pillars that are locked in long-term that are young and ascending players and young and ascending talents.
Do you have any extremely off the record, extremely preliminary thoughts on what could be a best case scenario as far as what the Mavericks could be targeting as far as trade partners, trade players that they could be targeting moving forward?
Well, if I have extremely off the record stuff, I think the best thing for me to do would be to blurt it out.
Tell us right here. Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to think you have better ratings than for that to be a good idea.
Well.
No, but I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I mentioned Nick Mudala thing, but I don't think that's a priority. I think that's more in the possibility. You know, Marcus Morris, that name's been out there. Kind of the same thing, especially you're committed to Porzingis and Maxi Kleba at the power forward, and he's really more of a four than a three. We'll see how the trade market shakes out. I did check on Dragic. This is not a math source, but somebody who certainly is close to that situation and was told don't see it. I've checked with a couple of people who aren't Mavs employees but tend to have a really good pulse on that situation, and they're like, we'll see. don't know which direction they're going to go. But again, a key is, if you don't see official releases on signings today with the guys that re-signed, the Porzingis, the Kleba, Dorian Finney-Smith, that's probably good news, because that means they're preserving their cap space.
Who's feeling better today, Kawhi or Uncle Dennis? Uncle Dennis, everybody thought was a bumbling idiot, but he got it done.
Well, and look, I didn't think that they handled that situation in San Antonio very well, but guess what? Everything has come up roses for them. I mean, they went and delivered a championship to Toronto and then got exactly where they wanted to be with a chance to – I mean, let's be honest. He's got a chance to be a three-time finals MVP with three different franchises. I mean, we're talking about unprecedented historical greatness. Got him a co-star with a team that – the Clippers don't need to fill out their roster. They've got a really solid roster around these two stars. Now, they, sent out all the picks for the future. But, man, that's fine. I mean, when you can give up draft picks to put a contender in place, it looks like it has some staying power. You do that deal in an absolute heartbeat.
A contender and a possible chance to build your own stadium. Obviously, they're sharing a stadium, but if they become who they think they become, Ballmer might get his own stadium. And so it's funny. This offseason, the two biggest markets have been about the other teams. You got the Nets in New York and the Clippers in L.A.
You know what? And I do think that's good for the NBA. And it'll be interesting to see. Look, the Lakers, obviously, they have a contender as well. And they don't have the depth, but – I mean, look, when you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, I think Danny Green's a nice fit there, Dudley for the minimum. And like I said, they won't have a problem finding vets that want to play for a contender, want to live in L.A. So the Lakers are still going to be kind of L.A.'s, favorite team. But, man, the Clippers, it'll be interesting to see, how many folks maybe adopt him as well. And then if you're a Knicks fan, do you think, you know, is this one of those things where you've been rolling over and kind of looking at that same ugly face for about 20 years and think, man, look at that. Look, you know what? Maybe those Nets are looking pretty good. Maybe I need to ditch this, you know, whatever Knicks jersey that you bought last year, that, you know, the Porzingis jersey, because there was nobody else worth buying. Maybe you need to ditch the Knicks and adopt the Nets. Because clearly you've got one franchise that's, you know, the only reason they're relevant is because of the name and the history, and another franchise that, although they've got to wait probably for a full season for Kevin Durant, you know, has gone from absolutely irrelevant and no hope as recently as, you know, 2 or 3 years ago to potentially an East powerhouse.
All right, Tim, appreciate you taking some time today. Look out for the earthquakes out there. Tell LeBron we said hello, and we'll catch you down the road.
And look out for some beers coming your way. Your beer's coming your way, Tim. Some beer's coming your way.
And fellas, I did Utah and skipped Vegas. I thought that was a wise move for many reasons. I'm back home, baby.
Oh, okay. All right, man. Good to talk to you. And there he goes, Tim McMahon, giving us a little insight what's going on around the league. And yeah, not much positivity. When you have Tim McMahon and you have Chuck Cooperstein on today, and there's really not much positive way that they can spin. The positive there from Tim McMahon that if they don't make the deals official with Kleba and some of the other moves that they've made today, then that's a good sign that they could be working out some other deal. So if you're a Mavs fan, for who, for what
is the question?
Not much. Okay. But either way, I guess if you're a Mavs fan, that's what you're holding out hope for. And I'm sure McMahon, Woj, all of those guys will have the latest there on that.